In the last episode, episode 12, Razor says that Hasselback potatoes are a South African dish. We would like to apologise because Hasselback potatoes come from Sweden. So we apologise to all Swedes and all potatoes. Hello and welcome to episode 13 of Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig.
Hi everybody.
Hello Reza, how are you?
I'm fine, and you?
It's very good to see you. Yeah, I'm fine. We have some feedback, some news. A friend of ours, Enrique García Rodríguez from Bogotá in Colombia, has written to us. And he says, thank you for teaching me English. Thanks to you, I'm improving my English. I really like the podcasts. They are very well structured and organized. Congratulations. Also, congratulations to Craig, because he has improved a lot his Spanish. Your friend, Enrique García Rodríguez. Thank you, Enrique.
Enhorabuena, Craig.
Estoy muy, muy, muy graciosos. No.
Gracioso si quieres. Agradecido.
Agradecido.
Pero gracioso también.
Que he mejorado mi español. Thank you. So, Grammatica, this week we have a question that was written on Facebook from David Blanco Vargas from Sevilla in Spain. And David says, please explain the difference between for, during, and while. For, during, and while. Reza, can you shed some light, throw some light on the differences between those three words?
Okay, well, let's begin with during. How to use during. It's a preposition, which is used before a noun or a pronoun to say when something happens. It doesn't tell us how long it happened, but just when it happened. For example, nobody spoke during the meeting.
Durante la reunión.
Durante la reunión. That's when it happened. Or we don't get any snow here in Valencia during the winter. The winter is when it happened. Or in the case of these two sentences, when it didn't happen. Yeah?
Yeah.
Or during my childhood, I lived on a farm. When did I live on a farm? During my childhood. It's when it happened. I didn't say how long. I just said when it happened during my childhood.
So that would translate fairly easily from durante, wouldn't it? You'd use durante in Spanish and during in English.
Yeah.
Now, what about while?
While,
W-H-I-L-E.
Well, while can mean the same as when, but not always. When we're using the word while to talk about two things that are happening at the same time, then we can also use when. And the length of time isn't important. But while is not a preposition. While needs to go with a subject and a verb. For example, the phone rang while I was having a shower.
Mientras que.
Mientras que.
Estaba duchando.
Estaba duchando. Hmm. In this sentence, we could also use when. The phone rang when I was having a shower. In that case, two things happening at the same time. You can use while or when. While's more common, perhaps, but when is also correct there. Another example. I met my girlfriend while we were traveling in South America. Or when we were traveling in South America. Two things were happening at the same time. My travels in South America and meeting my girlfriend.
That's perfectly clear.
Okay. However, sometimes we use when for another meaning and while is not possible. Imagine I said to you, I'm busy now. I'll speak to you when I finished my work. When I finished my work. I cannot say while there.
Mm-hmm.
Only when is possible. First, I will finish my work and then later I will speak to you. I will speak to you when I finish my work. The two actions there are not happening at the same time. They're happening at different times.
Right.
In that case, only when is possible. So while is for two actions happening at the same time. You can also use when. But when only, not while, for actions happening at different times. Now, on to for. For is a preposition, and it's used with a period to say how long something goes on.
So how long have we been doing this podcast, for example?
We've been podcasting for about 2 months, 2.5 months.
We've been podcasting for 2 months, so it's the period of time that something has happened.
Yeah, or we could say, I've been living in Valencia for 16 years.
That's true, isn't it? You've been living here for 16 years.
For 16 years, yeah. That's right. I've been teaching English for 20 years. So 4 plus the length of time. But you don't have to use a number. You don't have to use a number. It's very common to use a number with 4, but you can just focus on the length of time without being exact. For example, I have been teaching English for a long time.
I've known you for many years.
Many years. We're not specifying the number, but we are focusing on the fact that it's a period of time. That's 4. That's the main difference between 4 and during. The problem for Spanish speakers perhaps is you can translate during as durante and you can translate for as durante. But right. In English, you must distinguish. If I said to you, I've been living in Valencia for 16 years. In Spanish, I can translate that as durante 16 años.
Yes.
But you cannot say during in English. You must say for because we're focusing on the period of time. Remember we said it doesn't snow in Valencia during the winter? We're not focusing on the period of time. With during, we're focusing on when it happened, the winter.
Right.
That's the difference between for and during.
That's very clear. But to complicate matters even further, I could say I've known you for a while.
Yes.
Using while in a different sense.
Yes. Using while there as a noun.
Yes.
A while means a period of time.
Un rato.
Normally we mean a long period of time.
Un rato, no?
Un rato is a perfect translation because it could be I've known you for a while, 15 years, or it could be I'm just going to sit here for a while. Could be 10 minutes. Un rato.
You haven't bought me a drink for a while.
That's true. I was hoping you wouldn't realize.
Moving on to vocabulary. In the vocabulary corner this episode, I'd like to speak a little about travel words, because I recently got back from my Christmas travels, as we mentioned in the last episode.
He does get around, listeners, remember? He does get around.
I get around. The difference between travel and trip is a common mistake by Spanish speakers. My students love to say, I've been on a travel. What would you say to somebody who said that in your lesson, Reza? I've been on a travel to Paris.
Well, the most important thing is you can't say a plus travel, because the word travel as a noun is uncountable.
Right.
Travel can also be a verb, but if it's going to be a noun, it's uncountable. So you can never say a with an uncountable noun.
So you'd have to say trip. I've been on a trip.
A trip, because trip is countable.
And it's a very useful expression to remember, the expression go on a trip. I've been on a trip. I'm going on a trip. It doesn't matter if it's a short trip of a day or two or a long trip for 6 months or a year to go on a trip. Ir de viaje. I'm going on a business trip, for example. Trip and travel, journey, I think, in Spanish is trayecto. For example, the journey from Valencia to Barcelona takes about 3.5 hours by train. The journey from Madrid to Sevilla takes longer. Mm-hmm. So journey, trayecto.
But it could also be viaje. There is the meaning of, I went on an interesting journey many years ago. Mm-hmm. That could be viaje.
True. Okay.
So, Craig, you mentioned there are lots of different uses of trip, and you said that trip can be for long or short periods of time,
mm-hmm.
like a trip around the world. You said a business trip,
mm-hmm.
a short trip. Okay. However, I would say that the word journey is never for
a short trip.
A very short trip.
Mm. I agree with that.
You never say journey for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. For example, I would never say, let's go on a trip from Valencia to Alboraya. Listeners, if you don't know, Alboraya is right beside Valencia. So that it would take you 3 minutes to get there. You couldn't say, let's go from on a journey to Albarraya. You wouldn't say it.
No.
You wouldn't use the word journey for that, a trip to Albarraya. From Valencia to Albarraya, you would never say journey. You would say trip.
You'd say trip. Another confusing pair of words, fly and flight. Many people use fly, many Spanish speakers use fly, the verb, as a noun. So they'd say, I have a long fly. Actually, the noun of fly is flight, F-L-I-G-H-T. Did you fly to Belfast or?
I did.
Did you go by boat? You flew. How long? How long was the flight?
It lasted about 2.5 hours.
That's not too bad. Did you fly from Valencia?
No, because there's nothing direct from Valencia to Belfast. So I took a flight from Alicante to Belfast. And I came back from Belfast to Barcelona.
And how was your flight?
Fine. No problem.
Was it Ryanair?
No, it wasn't. It was EasyJet.
EasyJet. Mm-hmm. Okay. Finally, voyage. By sea, I believe, or by space, por espacio. Uh-huh. So you can have a voyage, a long sea voyage on a boat or a ship, and also a voyage in space on a spaceship. Mm-hmm. And one more word, cruise. To travel by boat on a cruise ship. Be careful of the pronunciation. You know the actor Tom Cruise? It's the same pronunciation. There's vibration at the on the final consonant sound, z, like a B, z, cruise, cruise. Do you like cruises? Have you been on a cruise?
I've never been on a cruise in my life, Greg. I'd like to.
Where would you like to cruise to?
I'd like to cruise around the Mediterranean. Mm-hmm. There's a point, Craig. I've just thought, you cruise around the Mediterranean. Let's say we set sail from Valencia and we went to, let's see, Venice and then in Italy. Then we went to
Corsica.
Then is there a port in
Greek islands?
A Greek island, Crete. Is there a port in Tel Aviv?
Haifa.
Haifa. We'll go to Haifa. Then we'd go to Libya, maybe Benghazi. And then we'd go to Morocco and then back to Valencia. Mm. So stopping in various places. That's a cruise.
But sounds tempting.
Sounds tempting, doesn't it? Now, everybody's heard of the Titanic. It went from England to New York. We don't call that a cruise.
Sound from Ireland. Sound from Dublin, didn't it?
Well, it set sail from Southampton, but it stopped in a place called Cove, which is near Cork, also to pick up passengers. And so there were Southampton and Cove. Passengers were picked up from both places.
Right.
Anyway, we don't call that a cruise. Why not?
We don't call that a cruise.
The Titanic wasn't a cruiser. The people didn't go on a cruise.
That's true.
I've never heard the word cruise used with a...
Is it because a cruise stops at various ports?
That's it.
For a spell, for a while.
Yes.
And then it continues. So it's not like a means of travel as such. It's more a touristic way of visiting different ports in a certain area.
The readers...
The readers?
Correct.
The listeners?
The listeners will know that there couldn't be many people who don't know that the reason that Titanic sank was it hit an iceberg. Why did it hit an iceberg? It was going too fast.
Yeah.
Cruise ships don't go too fast, do they?
No, they don't.
I never heard of a cruiser going too fast. They might sink, but they don't go too fast. Mm-hmm. Because when you cruise, you're taking your time. You're stopping in different ports. The Titanic was not a cruiser. It was a liner, a transatlantic liner. Mm-hmm. It went in a line from England, Ireland to New York. Liner. That's the difference.
That's right. Reza, do you have a phrasal verb for us this episode?
I do. It's the phrasal verb... Pick up.
To pick up.
Pick up.
I see. And I suppose, as usual, you're going to tell us that there is a literal meaning and maybe one or two idiomatic meanings.
Exactly. The meaning which takes no real effort to understand is, if I would say, for example, That's very heavy, that box there. Would you pick it up for me?
To pick up a box, to pick, up an object.
Take it in your hand and remove it from the floor to your hand.
In an upwards direction.
In an upwards direction, pick up.
Pick up that pen that's fallen on the floor.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty obvious. Another meaning of pick up is if I said to you, I'll pick you up tomorrow morning and take you to the airport. That pick up means I will take you in my car.
Recoger.
Mm-hmm. Take you in my car. I'll pick
me up at my hotel.
Exactly.
So what's the opposite of pick up in a car then, or pick up in a taxi?
Drop off.
Pick me up at the hotel and drop me off at the airport.
Exactly. Pick up, drop off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A taxi could do that and you'd pay the money. And if a person who was not a taxi driver, like a friend of yours did it, who's not asking for money, you would say that they give you a lift.
Okay.
Say, I'll pick you up tomorrow and I'll drop you off. I'll give you a lift. Yeah. Give you a lift.
Can you give me a lift to the supermarket?
But in American English, listeners, people don't say that. What do they say, Craig? You've been to America.
Oh my God, you've put me on the spot. Give me a ride.
Give me a ride, man. Yeah. British English, give me a lift. American English, give me a ride. That means to pick you up and drop you off for free. But taxi drivers, they don't give you a ride or a lift, they charge.
Of course, if you ask someone to give you a lift, they could say, you look fantastic today, you look wonderful, the world's your oyster, go for it.
Yes, another meaning of give a lift.
Give me a lift.
Yep.
Motivate me.
Uh-huh. And if you're feeling a bit down, listeners, I very occasionally would do this, very occasionally. Feeling a bit down, it's late at night, all my classes are finished. I feel I might have a little gin and tonic as a pick-me-up. A little drink to make me feel a little bit better. They call it a pick-me-up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it picks you up, makes your spirits a bit better, cheers you up. A pick-me-up.
Stimulates you.
Pick-me-up, yeah.
It's a pick-me-up.
And the last meaning of pick-up for today is a funny one. If I said to you, I picked up a girl at a party yesterday, but she wouldn't give me her phone number. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that I give her a lift in this occasion. It means that...
You lifted her physically off her feet.
No, not that. But I tried to lift her spiritually off her feet, let's say. If you pick up a person in a romantic way, that means you meet them, you chat them up, and you have a romantic encounter.
Liga. Aha, but... Is it technically picking up a girl if she refuses to give you her phone number? That's the question.
Yeah, pick up.
You could still say, I picked up a girl, but she didn't want to see me again.
Yeah, it's still pick up, yeah. I would maybe make a distinction between pick up and get off with.
Right.
If you get off with someone, that means you picked them up and you were ultimately successful in your romantic intentions.
So you kissed her and you...
Kissed her and then we went into the bedroom. And after that, listeners, we'll have to close the door. And we can't say any more, but you can imagine. That is to get off with someone. But to pick up someone just means that you chatted them up and they decided to spend some time with you. You may or may not have got into the bedroom. It's not clear with the word pick up.
So you could pick up a girl in a bar, for example. Yep. You could pick up a girl at a party. You meet her. You find out her name. You chat. You talk to her. And hopefully you exchange phone numbers or email addresses and you see her again.
Yeah. I might get off with her. I might not. Knowing me, Craig, she'll probably say no because all the way home I'll be saying to her, oh, can you give me a recipe for dulce de leche? And it will annoy her so much that I won't get off with her. So say, oh, get away from here. You and your dulce de leche. Stop it. Leave me alone.
Yeah, you wouldn't pick her up if you gave her that line. Moving on to pronunciation. And last episode, we spoke about the first time you meet someone. And you say, do you remember, listeners? You say, nice to meet you or pleased to meet you. When you shake hands, when you say hello to somebody for the first time. But when you see somebody again that you've met previously, then you use different expressions. Now, formally, you may know, because it's in most course books, you could say, how are you? How are you? I'm fine. But this podcast, I'd like to introduce you to some more informal expressions for seeing somebody who you know. You could say, for example, how's it going? How's it going, Reza?
Fine. What about you?
Yeah, I'm fine. You could say, how are you doing? Now, that to break that down slowly, how are you doing? How are you doing? Come with us. How are you doing? How are you doing? How are you doing, Reza?
I'm great. And you?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. You could say, what's up? You could say, where I grew up in London, North London, we used to say, all right. Did you say that in Belfast? All right?
Sometimes. All right, yeah. Yep. And don't some people in London say, pronounce it, or what?
All right. All right.
They pronounce the R kind of like a W.
Yeah.
By the way, listeners, we don't recommend that, but some people do it. What?
All right. It's not important to speak like that, but it is important sometimes to recognize and identify when somebody's saying, all right, especially if you're in London. So, all right, how's it going? How's it going? How are you doing? What's up? All right. Can you think of any more?
You mentioned last week, Craig, Whatcha.
Whatcha. That's right. Whatcha. Yeah.
And I mentioned that Belfast greeting, Boutcha.
Boutcha.
Yeah.
How about you? Yeah. What would an Australian say?
G'day.
G'day.
G'day. Maybe even sport.
G'day, sport. G'day, mate. How you doing? What's up? And an American? What would an American say? How are you doing, perhaps, again, also?
Howdy doody? No. Not in the 20th century.
Howdy,
anyway.
Partner. Anyway, one or two informal expressions of greeting.
Just one more thing. Stereotype of Irish people. We don't really say it today, listeners. But the joke is that the Irish are supposed to say, top of the morning to you. As a greeting.
They don't say that?
They don't really. Maybe they did 100 years ago, but not in a very long time.
Top of the morning to you.
We don't say
top
it.
Top of the morning. What? So you would say...
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay. Reza, do you have a tip for us this episode?
You know what, Craig? Let's just go crazy and say, I don't have a tip. Why don't you give the listeners a tip today?
I give a tip. Oh,
give me a tip.
Put me on the spot. Actually, I do. I do have a tip. Job interviews. Obviously, now, many people are looking for jobs. Sometimes interviews are in English. You do have to speak in English during an interview. And if you go to YouTube and you search for job interview, you will find lots of examples of how to behave in a job interview, how to answer questions in English in a job interview. Now, most of these videos are aimed or directed at native English speakers, but they will also be useful for you to get an idea of the formal language used in job interviews, body language, how you should behave in a job interview, how you should answer questions. And there are also many examples of real job interview questions on YouTube. So use it. It's free. If you have internet at home, go to YouTube, search for job interview, and just watch. Watch a few videos to get an idea of a job interview in English. And if you have a video camera, or many people now have video capabilities on their mobile phone, video yourself. Imagine you are in an interview, answer questions about your experience, about your education, your background, your previous jobs, and then watch yourself speaking and try to improve your communication skills, try to improve your pronunciation of English, your body language. So use video as a way of improving your performance for your job interview. Would you like to add anything to that?
No, I'd just like to say that's a great tip. Very important life skill.
And also remember, if you need help with translating your CV or if you need any translation services, Reza would be more than happy to get in touch with you by email and give you a quotation. So your email address, Reza?
belfastreza@gmail.com. That's belfastreza@gmail.com.
belfastreza@gmail.com. If you have a question, if you have a comment about these podcasts, please send us an email or a sound file with a mensaje de voz en MP3. Write a comment, ask a question, send us a sound file to mentionteachers@yahoo.es. Or you could send it to reza@belfastreza@gmail.com. And remember to please go to iTunes, put some stars up for us, pon algunas estrellas en una crítica en iTunes, so that more people can find our podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for Reza. Thank you to Reza. And we'll see you in the next episode.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later. Licensed by Creative Commons under a BYNC license at ccmixter.org.